So we have two floors of federal documents here. These are all issued by the government publishing office. We keep a lot of our more historical, more useful stuff on site, things that are much easier to just browse through to find what you're looking for as opposed to...
My name is Kate Tallman. I'm the acting head of the Government Information Library at the University of Colorado Boulder.
What exactly is a government information library?
So we are what is called a federal depository library. This is a program that was established by the United States government in the mid to late 1800s, where we collect official government publications from the U.S. government. So we agree to hang on to these documents, care for them, preserve them, and provide free public access to every citizen to these documents. So it's actually a kind of a very unique but less well-known collection. Congress is the most prolific publisher in the entire world. They actually publish more than anybody else in the world in the known history. So it's quite a massive collection, and it's full of a wide variety of unique items. Not just American history, but we're looking at everything from environmental studies, Department of Interior surveys of the Western states, and then every topic you can possibly imagine. So we work closely with students and faculty from almost every department in the university.
Well, tell us about this new collection that you're going to be stewards of.
So this is one of the largest collections of legislative history. So these are congressional publications. It's the United States Congressional serial set, the congressional record bound, and congressional hearings. So this is almost all of the activities, debates, and reports from Congress. So that's what we decided. We had a really strong, nice collection of these materials, so we offered to the Government Publishing Office that we would preserve these items in perpetuity. And so far it's been kind of an exciting project because we're the first university or first library in the nation to do this.
What form do all those records take? I mean, is it books? Is it papers? Is it digitized? Are they videos of congressional meetings? What exactly are we talking about?
So these are print, tangible documents. So these are print hearings, which are pretty small and narrow. The serial set volumes can be very large books, and the congressional record are kind of tall, large, hardbound books. So these do come in digital format. They come in micro format, like microfilm or microfiche. So there are a lot of different ways that people can access these, but we and the Government Publishing Office found it important to preserve the actual print copies of these for a wide variety of reasons.
Well, we have a selection of them here. Talk us through this. You've got a huge collection of something, all the way down to small little pamphlets. What are we looking at?
So a larger item here is an older serial set volume. This is serial set volume 862, and there are over 15,000 at this point. This is a report on the United States and Mexican boundary. So the United States Congress sent scientists, geologists, and other folks to on a variety of survey missions throughout the western United States and then the southern United States. So this was actually a boundary survey, and throughout this volume we have wonderful color pictures of plants, animals, insects. Let me see if I can get to my favorite. We have some hummingbirds in here that are my favorite, and this is from 1852, I believe. And so the color is still quite vibrant throughout this volume. A lot of these in other universities have been vandalized, and people have cut out these plates and put them up on their walls. We managed to get a full set of a lot of these serial set volumes from Colorado State University about 15 years ago.
Now, this is quite an old volume, goes back to the 1800s. So do you have anything that's more modern that people actually might remember what was happening in Congress at the time?
Yes, absolutely. So here I have a copy of a congressional hearing from July 22nd, 2015. And this was a hearing on the Iran nuclear deal and its impact on terrorism financing. And again, this is available in full text online, both through the Government Publishing Office and through some of our subscription databases. But oftentimes, it's just nice to have the print. You can kind of browse through the pages, look through the table of contents, identify all of the witnesses from this hearing, and see what they were talking about. So this is an example of a newer hearing. All of these are going to be wrapped in a preservation quality plastic, and stickers will not be included on the items to preserve the paper. So we have a lot of these volumes still come in on a day-to-day basis. We still get serial set volumes, and we still get hearings and congressional records. So we have a collection that goes all the way back to the late 1800s and goes through today.
So we're in the NASA mm-hmm. collection here. Wow.
We have a second level upstairs, which is a lot of our census materials. We think of the census as just producing, you know, the every 10-year decennial census, but they've actually done really detailed census surveys of a wide variety of issues, agriculture, labor, different years, different groups. It's really an impressive collection. So we have all of those upstairs. We keep those on site because it is just much easier to actually look at those physical items. These are some of my favorite items right here. The Department of Interior issued these in the serial set, which is one of the collections we're preserving, and they issued them separately. So these are reports from the Department of the Interior on Western surveys. So they sent a number, I think five or six different groups of scientists out to the Western states to draw pictures, to talk to natives, to look at the geology, to survey all of the Western states. And we have a very comprehensive collection of this stuff, partly because we're in the state of Colorado, and we kind of want to represent, the strongest part of our collection should be Western states materials. But I love having this right outside my office door because a lot of it is really neat and very unique documents.
I mean, some of this is going back to 1870.
Oh, yeah. I'll open one up. This is the Hayden Survey. And this is the Cretaceous and Tertiary floras. And you'll see in here drawings, plates, descriptions of all the different plants and animals that they discovered during the survey.
Is there a concern about how paper can degrade and how mm-hmm. atmospheric conditions, particularly in Colorado, and we are seeing change in atmospheric
yes.
climate change as well, I mean, impacting mm-hmm. how this is being preserved? I mean, how much of a deal is that?
It's absolutely a big deal. And some of the efforts we're taking with the Preservation Steward Project itself are to preserve the paper as much as we possibly can. There's a lot of different techniques that our preservation department is employing to make sure that these are preserved. And as they go off-site to live at the Pascal facility, which is on the Anschutz campus, that's climate-controlled. It's secure, it's constantly monitored, and these documents are going into a special section of the storage facility that will be evacuated first in case of a natural disaster of some sort. The Government Publishing Office is really happy with our agreement because we actually, that offsite storage facility is in a pretty safe place. It's not at risk for wildfire because it's out further in the plains. It's not really at risk for flood or tornado or any major disaster. So they're happy to see one of these preservation copies living out there.
In terms of just the wider implications and the wider, you know, need to have this, when we see everything boiled down to sound bites and tweets, you know, how important is it that we have these huge document, you know, this huge volumes of text preserved?
Mm-hmm. So I always say an informed citizenry is an informed democracy. There have been a lot of debates lately about, for example, the fake news that may have influenced some people's opinions about the election. So information literacy and understanding the materials that are available, official, accurate resources, is becoming more important. And there's actually quite a robust public dialogue going on about this at this point. But our founders recognized that providing government publications, providing a record of the debates and the meetings and just all the publications of the government leads to a richer democracy. I like the story where in the Declaration of Independence, it specifically mentions the separation of public documents from the work of legislative bodies. So they were geographically separate. That was one of the rationales for the revolution, was that people who were doing the government's business did not have access to public records. So I think it's just as important today as it was back then.
There seems to be a trend of libraries that have traditionally been depositories of these type of public documents, and they're dropping that status. Either they're choosing to drop it, or their status is being revoked. Talk a little bit about that trend, and is that something we should be concerned about?
Yes, yeah, so academic libraries and public libraries are all facing all kinds of pressures. Staffing, budget, space, time. The change of user needs change all the time. So at the University of Colorado, we discovered that our library really does not have enough study space. We don't compare to other equivalent institutions. So there have been a lot of discussions about how we can free up space. These pressures come down on a lot of these libraries, so they end up getting rid of their government documents collections first. And I think part of the reason for that is because we don't do a great job of promoting the value of our collection. We see it as this kind of magical secret. And once students discover how cool this collection is and how useful it is and the public, then it will be preserved. But we really need to promote this on a day-to-day basis to our users. My administration is incredibly supportive. They understand the value of a government depository, but others just can't see it. So, and I think this is a concern because it leads to the decimation of this vast collection of primary documents. And once they go away, the older documents may not be digitized. And so we're going to lose access to some of these, foundational documents of our democracy.